Ezekiel tonight. We're going to be going to the 14th chapter of Ezekiel, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5 initially here. Here it says, "Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of them? Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idol in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their hearts, because they are estranged from me by their idols." Diane, would you mind opening a prayer tonight, please? Oh, I'm sorry. You still wanted to pray? Okay. I'm so sorry, Diane. I forgot all about the fact you lost your voice. Yeah. That's what I told her earlier. I told her a meek and quiet spirit is of great price in the eyes of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So here, God, he tells Ezekiel that these elders were like some of the spiritual leaders that Ezekiel had seen in his earlier vision in the temple. Outwardly, they were doing service to the Lord, but secretly in their hearts, they were worshiping idols. So instead of having a love for God, and for love for his word in their hearts, these elders had idols in their hearts. And, you know, there's really a lot here that we should really take a look at, because I think the same is true with a lot of believers today. Here they are sitting piously before God's prophet, and they're acting spiritual. But to them, listening to Ezekiel was like, you know, more like a religious entertainment, you might say, and rather than receiving instruction from the Lord. And so Ezekiel actually addresses this very thing in one of the later chapters of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33, verse 31 through 32, where he says, "And so they come to you as a people, as people do, they set before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts, with their hearts they pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they don't do them." You know, I was telling the folks this morning, I was reading scripture yesterday, and I came across a verse of scripture that the Lord just kind of highlight. You know how the Lord kind of highlights things for you? And it said, "He who loves me will keep my commandments." And I began to think about that, because I've heard, talked to a lot of people say, "Well, I love the Lord, but they're living like the world. They aren't keeping the commandments of God." It also says that, again, if we love him, he says, then I and my Father will come and make our abode within you, you know, and cause the blessings to flow as a result of that. So we can learn a lot from these folks, because they had idols not only set up in their groves and in their homes and things like that, but these idols were literally in their hearts, things that they put before God. Isaiah also said this was a major problem in his day. In Isaiah 29 and 13, it says, Therefore the Lord said, "Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men." Any time that we put anything other than what is thus says the Lord, and any time anybody tries to change what God's word has to say, it's an idol, because you're not fashioning God according to what he really is, but according to the image you think he should be. And there, I think that's the highest form of idolatry. Jesus said this was the problem with the Pharisees of his day. They were guilty of the same sin in Matthew 15, verse 7 through 20. Calls them hypocrites. "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, Do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard that this saying? He answered and he said, Every plant which my Father, Heavenly Father, has not planted will be rooted, uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. And Peter answered and said to him, Explain this parable to us. Jesus said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters in the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So what we see is people will take these very things that have to do with evil thoughts, murders, and adulteries, and fornications, thefts, all these things, and try to justify them in the Word of God. And that, indeed, is creating an idol in your heart, because it's not who God is. So we can't be deceived. These professing Christians today, there's a lot of them that they say they have a love for God, but they do exactly the opposite of what God tells them to do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it's not likely that believers, they would ever have a love in their hearts for actual images, setting them up before them, but anything that replaces God in your heart, makes your affections and your obedience, certainly is an idol as well. It might be wealth, in the case of Achan in the Old Testament, for example. If you look at the New Testament, there's Ananias and Sapphira, the rich young ruler. A lot of people have money and wealth and things like that, that they hold up higher esteem than they actually do the God of the Bible. Jonas, his idol was, believe it or not, patriotism. We can go too far with this patriotism thing too. God is above every political party. I'm a conservative, but I'm only a conservative as long as they follow God. Jonah, it made him turn his back on God, what God wanted him to do. Go and share the good news message to the Gentiles of Nineveh. They needed that message, and he refused to do it because of his patriotism towards his country. Got to be careful about that as well. Pilate's idol was his prestige. He held his approval with the people as something that was more important, and his statue with Rome is something more important than letting the Lord go free. It was an idol to him. Mark chapter 15, 9 through 15, look what it says. But Pilate answered them, saying, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? For he knew the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, what then do you want me to do with him who is called the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Pilate said to them, why, what evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, crucify him. But listen to this. Though Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, they delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. This new bill that's been introduced, that's in danger of being passed by the Senate, makes it where transgenders will come into the schools, into churches, and making pastors employ them to teach children. They want to be able to have men go into the same bathrooms with women while the women are in there, that same ability. It's just ungodly, If a pastor speaks out against the any way, shape, or form of the LGBTQ community, he could be, their tax-exempt status, first of all, would be taken away, and he can also be imprisoned. That's what they're pushing for. These things are idols in the minds of these people. And as Christians, we in no way, shape, or form should keep them in our hearts for ourselves, because it will lead to the same kind of judgment as it did with the people of not only Jerusalem, but the exiles as well, as God dealt with them. Christ is Lord in our hearts. There is no place for these kinds of idols. Loving, accepting anything that can turn our affections away from God will prevent us from knowing God the way He wants us to know Him. And you will become estranged from God. By worshiping idols, they were abandoning God. And even though they went to temple on every Sabbath, they thought that we're going to church. How many people think, well, I go to church, I'm saved, I'm right with God. Is that what God requires of you, to go to church? No, God requires us to keep His commandments, to allow His commandments to change us and to perfect us. So they had literally married the Lord at Mount Sinai. Look at what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 1 through 19. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember you, kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in the lands not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruits of His increase. All that devoured him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, and have followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through the land of desert and pits, through the land of drought and the shadow of death, through the land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, "Where is the Lord?" Those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after the things that do not profit. Therefore, I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. For pass beyond the coasts of Cyprus and see. Send to Kedar and consider diligently and see if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? My people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out for themselves broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Folks, I believe that Christians who are giving in to this LGBTQ community doctrines have done that very thing. They've hewn out cisterns that cannot hold water. And they're broken cisterns. And if you look at the water as it speaks of the Spirit, these guys are a bunch of leaky pots, man. No, there can be no power. There can be no Spirit of God there. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? Young lions roared at him and growled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also my people of Nope and the Hephthys have broken the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourself, in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in the way? Now why take the road to Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor? Of course, in Scripture, Egypt is always a type and a shadow of the world. Why do people want to travel the ways of the world and accept the ways of the world rather than what is thus says the Lord? To drink the waters of Sihor, or why take the road to Assyria to drink the waters of the river? Your own wickedness will correct you. Your own backsliding will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. I would say that this is the problem with the church at large today. The fear of the Lord is not in them, and they are teaching for the doctrines and the commandments of men rather than what is thus says the Lord. Today we have people who are just like the church of Ephesus. They've left their first love. It doesn't say that they've lost their first love, but they have left their first love. God told Ezekiel that the Jewish people had deserted him to follow after these idols, that he would discipline them in order to recapture their hearts. I believe the same thing may be in store for our nation as well. If Christians do not return to the holiness of God in accepting the word of God as the authority rather than what is the doctrines and commandments of men. 6-8 says, therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, repent, turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwelt in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Again, repentance is the change of mind. It's turning from sin to turning to the Lord. The Jewish exiles needed to change their minds about idols and the sin of worshiping these idols. Turn to the Lord who alone is worthy of worship. God would judge each sinner personally, and he would actually take some and use them as examples to warn the exiles who were in Babylon. Verse 9 through 11 says, and the prophet, and if the prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have induced that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from amongst my people Israel, and they shall bear their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquires. The house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profaned anymore with their transgressions, that they may be my people and I may be their God, says the Lord God. So when you read these verses of scriptures, it kind of sounds like it's the Lord's fault here that people are worshiping these idols because of the prophets, that he's caused them to speak. But that's really not the case. That's not what it's really talking about here, because everybody in Israel, they knew what the Ten Commandments were. They understood that it was a sin to worship idols. And even if somebody very close to them enticed them to practice that worshiping of idols, they were not to yield to that for one moment, even if somebody was a so-called great prophet. God permitted these enticements to test people to make sure that they were loyal to Him. Of course, God knows what's in a human heart. We don't even know what our own hearts are. And these things are to test us, to help us to stay humble before the Lord and to walk in the fear of the Lord. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 through 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The Lord answers it, "I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit or the works of his doing." An illustration, I think, of this truth is seen in 1 Kings 22, when God permitted a lying spirit to work in the minds of the false prophets, convince Ahab to go to battle. Micaiah, the true prophet, shared, basically with the kings of his vision of what went on in heaven as the Lord made the decision to send a lying spirit. The Lord made the decision to send the lying spirit. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19 through 23, it says, "And Micaiah said, Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner." These are the angels of the Lord around the throne. "Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, In what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And the Lord said, You shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster upon you." Now, Micaiah here, he told them exactly what was going to happen. They chose not to believe him, and they put their trust in lies instead. So God spared the life of the king of Judah, but he took the life of the king of Israel. See, when people do not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, as the scripture says, God may send that strong delusion that they believe the lie, that they will be condemned, did not believe in the truth. See, it's the condition of a person's heart that determines the response, the Lord's test. Because God deals with people according to their hearts. He knows what's in our hearts. Psalms 18, 26 through 27 says, "With the pure, you will show yourself pure. With the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble person, but will bring down haughty looks." So the attitude of the world today is that there are no absolutes, therefore there can be no absolute truth. Satan is a liar and a deceiver, and he has blinded the minds of people so that they will not believe truth. They believe lies and they reject the truth of God's word. So we must do all that we can to share God's truth with the blind and with the deaf, trusting that the Holy Spirit will open their eyes and their ears and save them by his grace. Bad fact is, some of the most blind are the most religious of people. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 through 6 says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame," which is those idols, commandments of men, "not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully," which is what they were doing, "but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." In other words, we live it before men. "And even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the Lord who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In the movie Lilies of the Valley, starred Sidney Poitier, there was a businessman in town who was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. However, one day when the town was coming together to build a new chapel for the nuns, he got involved working on the chapel. Well, Sidney Poitier, he asked this guy, "I thought you were an atheist." The businessman replied, "Yes, I am. But I don't understand. You're up here building a house for God." Yes, I am. Why would you do that if you're an atheist? He said, just in case. That's what people do, isn't it? I remember hearing a story of Mike Warnke when he was in Vietnam. He said when he was over there, he had a cross and he had a Star of David. He had an Indian's rabbit foot and arrowhead and all these different symbols. He says he wanted to have all the bases covered. There is only one way. Only one way. We keep other God in our back pocket just in case God doesn't work out. What people do, idols tucked away. We hang on to certain people, places, things just to cover our back in the event God doesn't seem to work out. In the Bible, God is never satisfied with partial commitment. His people sought to follow him and to hold on to the gods of their culture. He insisted on complete commitment and dependence on him as the one who is the only true God. There's a company, you're probably familiar with it if you bought baking soda, Arm & Hammer. They pretty much had a monopoly on that particular product. Most people associate baking soda with that Arm & Hammer brand because, you know, it was sort of, you know, the only one that was on the market. I don't recall any other baking soda, to tell you the truth. And there's just not a lot of competition for that. In the same way, God wants to corner the market in terms of the amount of our affection and praise. He wants to have a monopoly on it. Even though there are not a lot of idols out there that should be competing with God or share in the market, God does not want to share us with any competition. He is a jealous God. Every time something shows up in the culture that distracts God's people from the true God, it encroaches on his 100% market share, and he wants that monopoly. That's from Tony Evans. I agree with that totally. But we are so fickle, aren't we? We're so fickle. Not firm in our steadfastness and in our character. You know, teenagers, they have an uncanny knack for hearing more about opinions of their peers than that of their parents. They're infamous for referring to their friends, Bob and Butch and Betty. They said at one time or another something that, you know, they thought that their view was irrelevant. There's a couple of problems with that kind of mentality. Those peers don't provide a roof or clothes or food. Their thoughts should not carry the same weight as the thoughts and opinions of the parents who provide for the needs of that teen. No parent wants their child being so influenced by a peer that parental authority is overruled. God shares that same sentiment. He does want his children bringing the thoughts of other gods into their relationship. God wants to be exclusive. Exclusive. Doesn't want any competition. That's why he said this in Exodus 20, verse 3 through 6. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself the carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon their children to the third and the fourth generations of those who, listen, hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and, listen, keep my commandments. One of the things I shared with folks in the morning service was that many immature Christians look for loopholes, see how much sin they can get away with, kind of immaturity. Immaturity, you want to become pure as he is pure. That's your desire. Just because we are not under the law, God hasn't changed his mind about this. He's written this law upon our hearts if you've truly been born again, and you know in your heart how you should behave. Hebrews 10 and 16 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law into their minds, and in their minds I will write them. We know. You're born again instinctively. You know what God desires of you. Worship another other than the Lord Jesus Christ is called Antichrist. And we are warned to stay away from such things. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 29. And I believe the book of 1 John was written specifically to counter the doctrine, the Antichrist doctrine of that day that was put forth by the Gnostics. It said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I always like to say this. It's not talking about the fact that God doesn't love you. That you do not love him. See? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father of this world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour that you have heard that Antichrist is coming, and now even many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. In other words, they professed to be Christians. How did they go out? They started doing things contrary and professing things that were contrary to God. They would have, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, They went out that they might be manifest, but none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either, and he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. The same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true. It is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him. When he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. For if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. It's pretty clearly spelled out in Scripture for us. And yet we see more and more people departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Anybody could go into a church professing to be a Christian and say they want to marry a man, or a woman marrying a woman. Something wrong there. It's contrary to God's will and it's contrary to his purpose. In the same way, somebody wants to dress like a woman or a woman like a man. The Bible says that in the Old Testament. It was abomination to God. It was an abomination back then. It's abomination today. Why? Because God does not change. He said in the book of Micah, I am the Lord, I change not. So we have to really come back to, even though I'm pressured by the world, to accept all these weird things that are coming down the turnpike. And that we will not be able to worship or practice our faith unless we do these things. You got to hold on to the truth, no matter what. Yeah. Any questions or thoughts before we close in prayer?